This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can call me baby, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Another clean sheet for England. Cristiano Ronaldo was among the goals again too. It's Wednesday 9th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, it's good to have you with us. Before we get into the show, you must already know that we have some updates for you with a new season almost upon us. Of course, we're delighted to tell you that we will be continuing to bring you five shows a week with the rotating lineup that you're perhaps au fait with by now, three of the eight of us each day. And we're also launching a brand new channel. That channel is Football Ramble Presents, and it features weekly episodes of On the Continent, regular episodes of The Book Club, At the Match, and plenty more exciting new shows. Of course, the first is a brand new shiny episode of On the Continent out tomorrow. Just one more sleep, everybody. 10th of September. So go and search Football Ramble Presents and subscribe wherever you get those pods. Now, gentlemen, with the admin out the way, we move into the excitement.
That wasn't admin. Marcus, it's very important. When we're talking about the rotating guests, I'm thinking about like a big Lazy Susan, and we're just kind of like rotating. Because we're on a big table. It's very circular. And it reminds me of like a fancy Chinese meal.
The most impressive table of the round variety I've ever seen was in the Great Hall in Winchester.
Right.
Which they say is the table, the knights, where the knights used to sit around, knights of the round table.
If it's still a table, fine, but they stuck it on the wall, didn't they?
They did stick it on the wall.
Yeah,
and not a table anymore. And I said, you sort of go, is that the real one? And they sort of go, oh, what do you think? It's not the real one. You know, and it's all a bit sort of nudge, wink, wink, and you go, all right, so it's probably not. There was no table, was there? Were there any knights? Come on.
How many knights were there? Because if there were more than six, they'd be in trouble now, wouldn't they?
They would be very much in trouble, yeah, absolutely.
And if they didn't, they weren't from the same household.
Yeah, but
I don't know that we should be talking about this, actually.
It's a huge table.
Was it Eat Out to Help Out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Were the knights eating out to help out?
Night out to help out.
Come on.
But we had a night in yesterday, of course, watching England versus Denmark. The sixth goalless draw in 43 games under Gareth Southgate. It was a bit crap, wasn't it? Let's be honest, Fish.
Sixth, nil-nil out of 43. It's such a nothing stat that it's this game is deserving of being part of it. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't tell us anything about anything.
No. It's a nothing stat. Yeah. It was so nearly the seventh, of course, after that Iceland game. But I wonder how seriously some teams are taking this UEFA Nations League compared to last time, of course, because one eye on the Euros next summer, Southgate did talk about trying a different formation, and he said some of the players that weren't at the disposal, because there's a lot of dropouts, of course, and then the two lads who had to...
Dropouts and chuckouts.
Exactly, yeah. It's last
pull out and a sex festival.
That's last orders in
Hartlepool,
isn't it?
Don't say pull out and a sex festival.
And a sex festival. We don't know what went on.
Yeah, Javish, help me out.
Yeah, it was... I mean, I don't really mind experimentation. I'm not talking about...
I was about to say, what we're talking about now. No.
But there were parts of that game yesterday with England playing that 3-4-3 that was without the ball, a 5-4-1 and...
Yeah, and all that business.
Yeah, I kind of wondered that... I don't mind the experimentation. I totally understand that. Yep. It's interesting because, as you say, they're not taking it as seriously as they did last year, because this is the first instance that England have used four debutants in a competitive match since something like the 60s.
Yeah.
Which 1962. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
And it speaks to me that they just didn't really regard it as a competitive match. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have done that.
Then 4 years later, what happens?
Yeah.
That's a very, very good point.
Very
hello,
well.
Qatar.
We won the World Cup in Qatar. 50 degree heat.
And it was because of that game yesterday in Denmark. Yeah.
Gibraltar managed three shots on target against Denmark.
Yeah.
And we managed one.
Was it just the one? I think it was two.
Was it? Okay,
I think
right.
We got up to two.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was two, yeah. I don't mind the experimentation because, you know, it works both ways, doesn't it? Either Southgate looks at that and thinks as I thought, in that, It's a fine formation if England have their full players at their disposal. But the limitations of those players yesterday was quite evident in the system we played.
Or lack of experience.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. And similarly, if we're, you know, but when you experiment, you find out things that you don't want to do again. And you might know that there are certain players that we need for that system to work. And when so specific players are not there, for example, I think Kyle Walker would be really good on that right side when you've got Alexander Arnold as the marauding wing back, and definitely need a left-sided, a left-footed player rather, doing that left wing back role. When you don't have those players at your disposal, that's probably not the one that not the system that you're gonna use.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. I mean, it was a big ask for Calvin Phillips playing in the centre of midfield for his England debut, and also again with Declan Rice, who I think at the moment is still probably not fully up speed, you know, in terms of starting for England in centre midfield, even though he has done.
Cordy, Phillips, Gomez, Rice is kind of
So it's a big ask in a formation that is creeping into fashion. You know, I know that the few teams have tried it out in the Premier League and so on.
Give it Raheem seemed to be the plan.
Yes, that seems to be the sort of the go-to for England, doesn't it, at the moment? Kane nearly scored. That'd have been lovely. Another undeserved win right at the end would have been just a ticket. But Cody was very impressive, and it was all about the post-match interview with Cody, wasn't it? I mean, that delightful Peter.
Yeah, I mean...
that's what international football's about, isn't it?
What, being interviewed in front of some law-good-up perspex?
Yes.
Yeah, so sorry, okay.
Fine. And we are nailing.
We are absolutely nailing. Never nail perspex, it will fracture.
Well, it's the time for perspex, isn't it?
It is, yeah, perspex everywhere.
Between tables at pubs.
I imagine the perspex level, the use of perspex is up there with, you know, these are concrete in China two years ago, you know.
It's always good to have some perspective. Rubbish. But yeah, Cody was good, though. He was a bright spark, of course. And if England, much of it has been made, if England wanted to play a back three, he'd perhaps be one of the men for the job. Jack Grealish came on. He was sort of purring as well. Vish, I mean, it was much.
Can he purr for 15 minutes?
I think so. It's a proud moment getting your first cap.
Yeah, I mean, cats don't really purr for long, do they?
No.
Because they're depends what you're... pricks, basically.
Yeah,
aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
So they really make you work for it. And they never
cats
look...
are pricks.
No, they are, yeah.
Yeah,
I can't remember who said that. It's a well-used line, but if a cat could talk, it would lie.
Yeah,
I firmly believe that. Yeah,
I like that.
Just what you said about, and this relates to Grealish as well, but what you said about Cody is quite an interesting thing with regards to, he talked about you always want to be on England duty when you're on the periphery or when you're on the outside of the group because it looks a lot of fun. And he mentioned that in the press, everything's England, England, England during the international break. Yeah. And you know, it sounded like he was talking about a party that he finally got invited to. Do you know what I mean? And that's what Gareth Southgate has cultivated. And we're probably at the point now where that's about to stop. We're about to stop giving Gareth Southgate credit for making that environment so welcoming and making it so fun, because, as we know from the last 20 years, it hasn't been, probably since, well, you know, since Euro 96. And now we're in a situation where we want proper results, because we've got players of a certain level who can play really attractive, engaging football, that it can take us so long to bring on a player like Jack Grealish, given what we know he's capable of, and think of all the absentees from yesterday as well, that we're going to stop giving him credit for essentially turning a creche into like some kind of really lovely, engaging after-school club.
Wipe down those inflatable unicorns.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
COVID's
coming to town.
Give us some proper results.
I don't mean, but I mean, two semi-final appearances, if you do include the UEFA Nations League.
I don't, but go on.
Okay. I think, well, because beating Spain away in that group, people said, you know, well, Southgate's not sort of beating top opposition. So
2 years ago, that?
Yeah.
Was it 2 years? Yeah, I suppose it was.
And France, Belgium and Portugal are putting loads of goals past teams. Mm-hmm. And these are the teams that we were told 2 years ago that we were up with.
Absolutely. So I agree with that. I'm just saying, in terms of results. So, I mean, Luke was beating the drum that England should be kind of sort of semi-final, final or something like that for the Euros next summer. I mean, I just think you have to wait and see how the draw pans out and so on, because England... But Southgate's comments about Foden and Greenwood, I mean, we know they've sort of been talked to death, I think. But his comments about how, from the off the back of the World Cup, he said, you know, you have the players who are big for him, you know, and he mentioned sort of Kane, Sterling, Trippier. He mentioned Dyer as well. You know, you could chuck Henderson and one or two others, Maguire even into the mix of that. And he said, you know, the fine work that those players did building the squad sort of harmony and the spirit and so on. He said he doesn't want younger players to come and go, yeah, cheers, nice one, lads. Right, yeah, we'll turn up and just sort of piss about now. Mm. And that's his challenge, I think. And this Foden and Greenwood thing is quite interesting, because do you crack the whip? Because that could be seen as a little bit unnecessary. Or do you go a bit leaning and you kind of risk that? I mean, I found it interesting that Roy Keane said on the telly last night, he said, you know, Southgate talks about trust of these players. He said, well, trust is a two-way street, Peter, as you once said. And he said that actually, as you're a young player, you want the manager to come out and sort of back you as well. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But I think that...
Keane was siding on the side of the player who was acting up on international duty.
Well, that's why
it's weird, that.
I know, it surprised me. He basically said that Southgate shouldn't go in heavy. He said they've already had their punishment, it's done. And as young players who all misbehave and so on, you want the manager to now come... say, no, I think these players are good enough, I stand by them. And Keane was saying, if they're playing well for the club, then that's the end of the debate for him.
I think you can still do that while reprimanding them, though.
Mm. Yeah. I was just surprised.
Take the waistcoat off, say, am I not enough for you, gentlemen? Am I not sexy enough?
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think he's going to sit them down and be like, look, I know I'm getting older and I know I'm not looking after myself as well, but you know, just tell me what needs to change. Just tell
me. We can
me.
Try. Look, we can go to the torture garden when we're allowed back in. It's fine. Look, we'll try different stuff.
Uh-huh. We could ask your friend.
Your friend. Yeah.
What are the Belgians doing? Right, let's copy them.
They're having a whale of a time, aren't they?
5-1 against Iceland. I mean, they topped the group quite handsomely. I mean,
Batshuayi is back heel. Whoa, hello.
Yeah, it's lovely stuff. I mean,
there's a lovely shot on his Twitter. There's like 7 or 8. It's like that first Maradona shot. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a break of a free kick, and it's not really indicative of what was actually happening. But there's like 7 or 8 Icelandic players in the 18-yard box, and he's just having a lovely time, taking the absolute piss.
I wonder if Southgate is quite wary of the Belgian threat and is kind of making sure that the defence is a bit more tight, so when we play against Belgium, we won't get hammered. Because Belgium are...
in the third place playoff we've played.
Yeah. Well, Belgium are the number one, you know, top of the FIFA rankings, aren't they? Which... I find quite intriguing how they do the running. I know we've had this sort of chat before. I mean, they didn't even make the last four of the UEFA Nations League. Obviously, they finished third in the World Cup.
Stop saying the UEFA Nations League like it's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Stop trying to make it happen. It's not going to happen.
You're in the pocket of UEFA Nations League.
Yeah.
Big UEFA Nations League.
We're here on the side of big perspex.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've got a divide.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, what do you reckon? Belgium is surely sort of smelling blood when they think of that England tie next month.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I agree with you. I think that formation that England used yesterday is to counter teams like Belgium. I mean, it's not going to work, is it? I don't think giving De Bruyne more of the ball is ever a good thing.
we'll just sit off them. No.
But like, so when England play Belgium, are we going to assume that they're going to play the same system that they used yesterday?
No, I don't think that's
okay.
Likely.
So you reckon what formation do you reckon they'll go back to?
Well, I don't know. I think Southgate said about, you know, because I thought England have always got to have three in midfield. They've always got to. Ever since Hoddle did that in the sort of late 90s, to me, England should have always kept that, and the amount of 4-4-2s and all the rest of it. They've got to have three in the centre of the pitch because England just get overrun, blah, 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 blah. I've said that so many times. So a 3-5-2, maybe. You do sacrifice a winger, probably Sancho. But I don't think Sancho's done a huge amount in an England show. He's obviously a very promising player. He's been brilliant in the Bundesliga, and my goodness, he's going to have a great career. He's already having a great career. But I think it probably is worth the sacrifice, to be perfectly honest with you. Even if you had Rice and... Well, Dier now is a defender, isn't he? Although I think he's actually done okay in that midfield position. But you have, I don't know, Winks and Henderson with somebody in front of them who's a bit more tacking, or you have Winks as the pivot and Henderson and another shuttler in there. Dele Alli, maybe, if he comes back, somebody like that. Mm. So it could look very different, that England side, next month, you know, for the friendly against Wales and then the game against Belgium.
Yeah, Carragher said something really interesting on Sky yesterday. And it was interesting because he said it so unequivocally. Mm. But he was like, England just can't play two at the back. England needs to play three at the back.
Yeah, and they need three in the middle of the pitch as well.
Yeah. So we're kind of, you know, that's six players suddenly. We've got four other players to work with.
Essentially, I want to play a 5-3-3. That's what I want to do.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe we just sacrifice Pickford. Maybe that's the way.
Yeah. Like in ice hockey where they pull the goalkeeper. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, I think that has to be the way. Yeah, Pickford is like, he just plays as a sweeper. But still got the keeper shirt on, obviously, you've got to have a register.
Maguire can go in goal, can't he?
Yeah, he can be
rush goalie.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like built like, do you remember GoldenEye where he could do Donkey Kong mode?
Yeah.
He's got like little bodies with big heads. Kind of Harry Maguire's built a little bit like that.
Yeah, that could be him.
If you're looking at the keeper, if you're looking to give the keeper the eyes, you're just kind of like, well, I mean, you're looking at that massive head and you go, I'm just going to hit his head, aren't I? He's massive.
Yeah, you'd massive. Like, and because his eyes would be so big, because presumably they're proportional with the head, you would just be looking into one eye.
you can't.
Your eyes into one
too
of his
far
eyes.
Away.
Apologies for anybody who has a big head. myself included.
Or a swollen one.
What about the world champions, eh? It was a repeat of the 2018 World Cup final last night. 4-2 to France, same scoreline.
Yeah.
Quite pleasing, isn't it?
It was pleasing because they had like 50% possession each.
Yeah.
Same off-target goal attempts, five corners each. It was just kind of really evenly matching the stats, but
yeah,
obviously an exact repeat of what we saw before.
I think so. The moment of the whole evening in the international roundup, as we're not calling it the UEFA Nations League, was that Dejan Lovren touch onto his left foot.
Maybe he is the best player in the world.
Best defender.
I used to think he was an idiot.
Oh, my goodness.
Going on like he is.
He took that magnificently well.
Maybe that's the confidence. You know, he is
it
a very...
It was Bergkamp best.
Yeah, absolutely. he's so, so confident and says so many things. And then he did that and I was like, maybe I'm the idiot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the one who's wrong here. Brilliant goal.
Rivaled it into the corner. I mean, the French equaliser, I think it was the equaliser from Griezmann, was a lovely move, wasn't it? That was very, very pleasing indeed. Also pleasing to see Olivier Giroud, so often not among the goals, getting his 40th international goal. You think, oh, that's quite a lot. He's got 11 off Thierry Henry at the top of France's goal-scoring chart.
They love him.
One behind Platini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olivier Giroud.
He just works.
It's just when you're not looking, he scores, I think.
But
he doesn't say anything about it. You go, did you just score a goal? And he's like, shh.
I was having this conversation with someone maybe a couple of months ago now, and I don't think we'll ever be able to discuss even how good Giroud is, because there are so many up and downs that he's... just a nonsense of a player. Someone said this a while ago, but he could show his kids, you know, highlights of his goals, and they must think, you're the best player in the world.
Yeah.
He's got some absurd goals.
I mean, 40 international goals. Now, I understand he's not a one-in-two man. It's a lot of caps there, but it is quite phenomenal. And as you say, he's one of those sort of forwards is a bit of an enigma. If you think someone, say, an English version, like Emil Heskey, and you think, because, you know, people would say what he brought to the team and so on, he'd pop up with the odd sort of big goal. But in 62 England internationals, Heskey got 7 goals. Mm. And that does tell the story of his goal-scoring record, if you see what I mean. But Giroud, as you say, he just...
I mean, Podolski's probably another one whose goals record on for his clubs wasn't as anywhere near as good as his German performance. But it's just it so rarely happens, this kind of stuff. But sometimes you just fit into a system that has been played for a long time, and it's good to see players like Martial coming on as well, who are starting to cement his place in the side, because he has been excellent in the French side.
Well, what about Eduardo Camavinga, Peter? Talking about players coming on. What is he, 17? France's youngest player in over a century?
No, Martial 16, so it's fine.
Is he? Oh, he's still.
Still a prospect.
France is just the endless production line.
Showing off players.
It's phenomenal. I mean, they really could dominate world football for a while, like Spain did, but then, you never know, as we see in the 21st century, when the World Cup comes around, it is quite fashionable, and I will use the word fashionable, for the champions to go out in the first round. Yeah. And I'd like them to keep up that tradition.
It is quite quite distressing as well, because the one thing you used to rely on is them having a big training ground bust up with the first week of a major tournament.
Yeah.
And they seem to have stopped that.
Yeah, we need to, some sort of inception there. I think Pogba's, he could be involved in that, incept it in his mind somehow.
Maybe that's the way England win a major tournament. They just start like this wicked whispers in other... in other groups, on other training camps.
Yeah, I think that's the way forward. Portugal beat Sweden 2-0. 101 international goals for Cristiano Ronaldo. He said that he's after Ali Daei's record in the men's game. And my goodness, as if anyone was going to doubt him. And I can vividly remember when he was on about 80 international goals, and we were like... he's still quite a bit off, but you wouldn't put it past him. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous that we even doubted for a brief moment.
Like, who's second? And like, is that Eusebio and
sort of Pele's up there, isn't he?
Portugal,
I see. Sorry, yeah.
He's hacked them to death in a translucent Mac.
Yeah,
because he is a little bit like what's his name? Patrick Bateman. Isn't he? He's a little bit.
Which one's Patrick Bateman?
He's from American Psycho.
Oh, okay.
You could see him listen to Huey Lewis in the news as he just does Eusebio dirty.
Well, after
looking at himself in the mirror while he scores his goals.
After football, Peter, he will need a brand new drug. I think we can say for the Huey Lewis and the news fans out there.
But he will go on to score more goals for an international level post 30 than he did before he was 30, which is...
That's
how
phenomenal.
How many people have done that before?
Not many. If at all.
No.
But yes, I mean, that second goal of his, it just sort of wafts it into the net. It's absolutely
fantastic. Yeah, it was fantastic. Like João Félix hitting Portugal's 50th shot at it was Olsen in net, wasn't it? Olsen just sat on the floor going, "What are you doing? Like, why have my defenders done me like this?" Because he was so busy in that match, and he made some really, really decent serves. But you ain't going to keep him out.
Did you see a bit of Shea Given in his eyes?
Oh, yeah. Shea Given, Martin Dubravka, all that. all the hits.
Lionel Perez.
Never dirtied his boots, but still, he didn't fancy it.
Did you see Ronaldo's apparently signed a £1 million deal to appear in a Compare the Market ad?
Oh, fair dues, right, okay. They do sort of deep pockets, Little Mix and one of the world's greatest footballers.
Yeah, they go perfectly together, don't they? A source. And I do stress a source, said this about it. Cristiano is never one to turn down a money-spinning deal and jumped at the chance to earn this dosh for what it is. Essentially, an afternoon or so's work. Compare the Market love a big-name signing, so we're delighted to get this one over the line. Hang on a minute, you've just sort of revealed where the source was there towards the end of that quote.
Yeah.
You sound like an employee.
Yeah.
Also, who talks like that? It reminds me of like a... There was a story in the tabloids ages and ages ago about a woman whose husband had left her for a vampire,
cool.
Basically.
All right.
And the quote at the end was, "Would you take him back?" And she apparently said, no, she would say fangs, but no fangs. And I was like, did she bollocks say that?
Did she say
that? Of course she said that.
Fangs, but no fangs.
Like, who says money spinning deal?
Yeah.
Jumped at the chance.
A sauce. Dave in the newsroom.
Love that. Right. What a way to finish the first half, gentlemen. Mm.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half. Oh, baby, it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good on many topics today.
That's right, it's time for the topics, everybody. You can sign anyone for your club, but they can't be a player. Who would it be, and what would they be doing?
Lorenzo on Twitter, excellent name, excellent tweet. I have had an epiphany. Ben Stiller as Man United's kit designer. Except it's not a dream, it's actually become a nightmare reality.
Oh, dear. Do you know what? I know two separate people who don't know each other,
right,
who've bumped into Ben Stiller asking for directions in Central Park.
Oh.
Isn't that odd?
That is weird.
That is quite odd, isn't it?
He just hangs around in Central Park.
Must do.
Yeah.
He must do. Well, one of my friends said that he's walking around Central Park and he was a bit lost and he just saw this guy and said, "Hello, chap. I'm a good man. I'm an Englishman in New York and, you know, need to get to here or whatever." And as he started explaining, he sort of looked at him and he's thinking, "It's bloody Ben Stiller, that." Ben Stiller sort of realised that he realised who he was. And he was like, "Oh, thanks, mate." And then Ben Stiller sort of shuffled away.
Yeah.
And a few people looking around, "Is that Ben Stiller?" And then he was gone. He disappeared.
He lives under a bridge.
He must do. And it pops out when he thinks someone needs direction.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
He eats pigeons.
Fascinating that
Ben still eats pigeons in Central Park.
He gets 10 pigeons to chase him, and whoever catches him gets the...
Yeah. That is an off-air joke. That's an off-air reference, Vish, that we cannot get into.
All right. I'm none the wiser either,
good,
ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
All
I'm
saying is I'm looking forward to Walter Mitty 2.
A story I once told. I interviewed him for...
Are you going to share this?
For Walter Mitty.
No, you can't.
No, no, okay. But well, I interviewed him for The Junket for Walter Mitty, and he... And Ben Stiller gave me an idea for a film, which I shall not be revealing on here.
Why?
But I may tell you off air. What?
Well, just saying. There's too much chat off
just
air
saying.
Here, ladies and
just
gentlemen.
Saying.
I have no idea. But Vish, you've got something to say.
Yeah, I've got on air and online chat from Soccermatic Method on Twitter. As a United fan, I would hire Gordon Ramsay as the demotivational coach. Nothing would counter Ole's annoyingly optimistic post-game interview after a 1-1 draw than Ramsay screaming, "You are an idiot sandwich!" Probably after a De Gea howler.
Yeah. Bloody Ramsay. Connor from Dublin emailed in saying, "I think I would hire myself as a ball boy or steward for my club Shamrock Rovers." That's an interesting take on it. "This means I'll be able to watch live football and not through a TV or mobile screen. We have AC Milan coming next Thursday in the Europa League. What a bonus that is!"
What
well,
a boom.
Connor, you're in the hat.
Fantastic.
Yeah, lovely old job, that. Do you know what? The other celebrity spot that, again, two friends of mine, I've just realised, there's two different people, saw. Now, this is a little bit more, wait for me to finish. Outside, in central London, I don't know if McDonald's on Leicester Square.
Right.
Central. If anyone's been out of Central London, I'm sure they're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. Just eating their McDonald's outside. Don't know what it was, Vish, but I don't think it was a fillet of fish.
Right.
Limousine outside, window goes down, Stan Collymore inside. Okay, don't worry, it's not one of those stories. And he goes, anywhere I can get a burger around here, lads? And they're just sort of like, yeah, there's McDonald's there. And then he just like waves a Big Mac in the air and just goes, "Cheers," and the window goes up. That happened to two people I know on two separate occasions.
Is that Stan Collymore's big joke?
Yes, I think
right,
so.
Okay.
How weird is that?
Quite weird.
It's a bit like Chris Eubank apparently used to drive his kind of like 4x4 lorry up and down the coastal road in Brighton on a Friday or Saturday night, beeping everybody.
Yeah. Bill Nye rolling around Soho is that quite enjoyable? It's quite. He just does it a lot.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
No. Oh, am I getting confused?
No. Bill Nye in Love Actually.
Yeah. Who's the other Nye? Okay. Who's the science
Kira,
guy?
Nye. I think they're related. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the topics.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good at many topics today.
Do get your suggestions in for the topics this week by either emailing us show at footballrambledaily.com or via Twitter using the hashtag RambleTopics. Right, gentlemen, good news. September is the month that we're in, and football will be shown live on TV.
It's happening!
All 28 games in the Premier League will be televised, with Burnley and Leicester even appearing on the British Broadcasting Corporation, Vish.
Yeah, poor bastards. They always get the weird ones, don't they?
Brendan Rodgers, Leicester. Sean Dyche's Burnley. What a treat for the households of Great Britain.
Now that you put it like that, yeah.
Oh, you bitch.
This is a nice move. Although I do wonder how we come out from it, because obviously, generally, because
we're talking about the pandemic, or
well, yeah, of course.
Ultimately,
but ultimately, if they're going to show every game on TV, at what point do they start kind of stripping back? And
yes.
Because people are going to be used to this by
five
now.
5 minute preview.
Well,
back
yeah,
in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I think they do that in the NBA now. I think you can watch like part of an NBA game, the end part of an NBA game.
Okay.
Or you can watch the first part and then you can choose to buy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
But I don't know. I just think it'd be really interesting how we come out of this, because more people are watching football now because it's ubiquitous and teams who aren't usually on TV are having that. Then at the same time, they probably need to cut it all off when people are allowed back into the stadium, because the big money spinner for a lot of clubs is having fans in the grounds. And obviously, just because it's Premier League teams, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect everyone lower down who would normally go to those games but might actually choose to watch, you know, Liverpool City on TV instead. Mm. So, yeah, they're in a weird spot, I think.
Well, the Premier League said it was considering appropriate arrangements for October games.
Well, especially, it's weird because... it'll start to be phased out, presumably, but obviously we're not going to have capacity crowds at these things. So if you've got a season ticket or you want to... Mm-hmm. You are the sort of person who would be going to every match, even if you're just buying a ticket week by week, you're not going to get to see your team. And the situation as it was last week, where football matches are going to be taking place and nobody will have... You know, that said, Schrodinger's cat that of football, where it's like, did Newcastle get beaten by West Ham, or did West Ham
beat themselves?
It will be definitely be the latter.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a weird situation, very very strange situation.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, we should stress that most of the games won't be on terrestrial TV, of course.
No, but yeah. I think it pulls into stark relief that it's actually quite a strange situation that we've got three or four competing broadcasters where we have to sign up for everyone's individual thing on the chance that your team might be playing. So what will happen is there will be a Premier League network eventually that they sell their own product on. But then where's the bidding wars going to come from? So presumably the Premier League would probably stick with what they've got. Mm. But COVID has made a mockery of it all.
It has, it really has.
And the Chinese have just went, we're not paying for it anymore. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, you're well up on media rights and things like that. I wondered what is the end game of all this? Because I assumed it would be that Premier League network, but as you said, I don't know if it makes financial sense.
I'm going to bring it back to wrestling, but when Vince McMahon moved the WWE stuff on the network and put all the pay-per-views on the network, you didn't have the broadcasting, you know, all of the broadcasters in Mexico and Japan and Europe, they weren't paying massive amounts of money to have these, to give people access to these pay-per-views, and you weren't dropping 40 quid on watching The Undertaker be shit. So you're in a situation where you put everything on network, and then you are in a situation where you are not making quite as much money. So they've discovered that it's not as big a money spinner as you think, and I think the Premier League might be in a similar sort of situation. It's a very nice position to be in, because obviously internet piracy is so easy and so ubiquitous and everywhere, but there will have to be a more unified grown-up solution to this, because having three or four broadcasters with varying degrees of accessibility on your mobile devices, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, so I think
I'd pay a ridiculous amount of money for it all.
So to answer your question, Vishen, you know, how sort of could it change, what I gathered about Pete there is you won't get a Premier League trophy anymore, you get a belt.
Yes, yeah.
Triple
H does that, actually. He makes belts for world champions and teams that do really well.
Do you not think that would be better? Jurgen Klopp with a big gold belt going, yes.
Instead of the FA Cup
final. Stood there on the touchline.
Money in the bank. You've got to get on a big ladder and grab a suitcase for a chance at the FA Cup final.
And then the League Cup is the, do you remember the 24/7 belt?
Right, okay.
Any time.
If you grab Jurgen Klopp in a supermarket, you can take a pot shot at the League Cup final.
Yeah. But instead of pinning him, he'd have to go and goal and you have to score past him, but without him knowing.
Yeah, or he doesn't know where the goal is.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
If that became in fashion, I think a Premier League side would quickly get Diego Simeone as manager.
Yes. Who's most likely to have a knife on him?
Yeah. Because once we've got the belt, no one's taking it off us. The whole season on the touchline with the belt, you know, giving it the big one.
How good would that be for the League Cup if Atletico Madrid won the League Cup?
Yes! I'd have it. Remember when Zidane's trousers exploded? He could have done with about that there.
Yeah. Exploded isn't the word I would use, but
they absolutely exploded, Marcus. It's like an airbag going off.
I mean, I'm just thinking of trouser explosion. Trousers exploding.
Moves us very unneatly to Aston Villa. Ollie Watkins having a medal. He could produce. He could help them there. My goodness, they need it. But he's having a medical at Villa. £33 million is what is being reported at the moment. It's not signed, sealed,
and delivered. This is old school Villa.
Yes,
Villa. Villa leads involved in the situation where we're going to spend big.
Did they? I mean, yes, they. £33 million. I mean,
seems
I know transfers, they don't make any sense, especially when it comes to Premier League clubs, Peter.
Yeah.
But that is a huge figure for a Championship striker. I know he was, you know, well, he
what
wasn't
a,
even...
What a fee!
Yeah. I mean, Vish, you saw a little bit of him last season, as we all did, playing for Brentford in a good side that came up short just about, unfortunately for them. I think that's a lot of money for a player who quite clearly fitted a particular style and system in the Championship. It's a huge gamble, that, from Villa. It's a good signing, but that kind of money?
Yeah, I suppose a gamble in the sense that, given the current climate, you wonder, you know, maybe we could add an extra £10 million on that in terms of the impact it'll have on Aston Villa going forward and how much they'll be able to spend and therefore how much they need this to go well. Yeah. I mean, that goes without saying, obviously. But we always talk about on the show the premium on strikers, the lack of goal-scoring strikers. Yeah. And Aston Villa's big issue last year was that they created chances and they just couldn't really finish them. You know, Wesley was a bit of a bit of a damn squib. And I think when you look at Watkins and how he played last year, I'm going to liken him to Fernando Torres in that, in the championship specifically, when you look at his 26 goals, they were very, you know, he's very good in the air. He's got a fair few headers. He's also very efficient in the way he deals with the ball at his feet, gets into great positions. And if you look at that, you know, that Villa midfield behind him and potential service he might get from out wide.
And Grealish is still an Aston Villa player.
Grealish is still an Aston Villa player. They've obviously signed Matty Cash as their right back from Nottingham Forest. It does make sense.
No, the signing, the price, I'm slightly like...
Well, when they're looking at like Rian Brewster, who does have a little bit of Premier League experience, and you know that's 20 million, and Liverpool are insisting on having a buyback clause put in, you just sort of go, I mean, Villa... I think teams know that Villa have got a bit of cash, so that it's just driving up the price and driving up the price, and I think that's why we're seeing that... Yeah. Some.
I was quite pleased, actually, you mentioned Liverpool and Brewster, that they are allowing him to go. They're getting the buyback because obviously believe in him, but allow a young player to go, because you think about the way Chelsea do things and loanees and so on, and even Arsenal, you know, Emiliano Martinez, you know, how many loan spells he had and so on and so forth. I'm glad that you can potentially put down roots at another club. You know, you will be signed to them and that is your team. You won't sort of think, oh, I'll play for these and will I get back there and so on.
Well, isn't that exactly what a buyback clause is giving him, though?
No, but that's sort of saying, you know, we believe in this young man, but he is also...
More than a loanee.
Speaking of Martinez, Villa were sniffing around him as well. I'd like to see him get some first-team football more so, because obviously Leno sort of coming back in contention for Arsenal this coming season. But Martinez, I mean... That, you know, mentioned Cody's post-match. That post-match after the FA Cup fish was one of the moments of the lockdown, you could argue.
Yeah, no, it was very lovely. And to be fair, you know, he used the opportunity to put himself in the shop window.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did. And also, you know, I think Arsenal will do right by him to let him go. Because, you know, be upfront with him, say he's not going to start, but, you know, give him every chance to move on to a club that he wants to go to. Because wherever he'll go, he'll be first choice. And good luck to him.
Yeah, yeah. One of his teammates, current teammates, he's still an Arsenal player, Hector Bellerin. Have you seen this? Investing in Forest Green Rovers, Peter. This is up your strata because you love the environment just as much as the next man.
And sexy boys.
And sexy boys. he's become the second largest shareholder in League Two's Forest Green, the fully vegan football club, of course, the world's first carbon neutral sports club. How about that? FIFA have given them a ringing endorsement as well.
Hector Bellerin is one of those kind of men that you just, oh, you're just perfect. Everything about you.
But what he did to Han Solo, though.
All of your decisions that you have made in the past 5 years have been spotless.
Yeah? Would you like to name some of those decisions?
Mainly his fashion sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of the clothes, the hair, some of the tats.
Well, and now this one as well.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. Forest Green are showing others the way. So many people feel there's no solution to the world problems, but Forest Green are already doing plenty. He'll work alongside Dale Vince, the chairman, raising the environmental agenda in football.
He spoke about watching a video. I can't remember who actually put the video together, but they kind of figured out the topography of where all of the clubs in the Football League are located. And I think out of the however many there are, I think 23 of them would be underwater by 2050 if things keep on going as the way they are. And he said that affected them pretty badly. So, like, I think it's kind of the paucity or the lack of leadership on a governmental level. And I've said this before. Footballers are stepping up to the plate where our political leaders aren't. And it's incredibly inspirational to younger generations. It's inspirational to us. Like, this is exactly how we should be using our platform.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of football...
And wee-wee with jokes and poo-poo jokes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of teams do often, it's like they are treading water, Vish, but if their stadium's flooded, it would give them an excuse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Are you just wearing Mark Fish? You know, it's kind of...
Oh, a good one, like that.
Yeah.
Mark Vish. I had nothing. I had nothing there. I had absolutely nothing there.
Svenjor and Eriksson was on the show yesterday, Vish.
Have a bit of respect.
And you're bringing in Mark Vish.
By the way, I appreciate everybody tweeting me about that. If you missed, I don't know if it was on today, but it certainly was on yesterday.
If you skipped the advert, you're an imbecile.
Oh, wow. Oh, dearie me.
Svenjor and Eriksson on the Football Ramble.
If you want to hear, and it's only for a brief moment, and that's all I need, me mentioning Sven living in Thailand with two ladies, then do listen to yesterday's.
He said, I'm getting a bit older. I was expecting him to say, just one will do.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Gentlemen, are you aware of Kieran Amos?
Or no.
Amos? Amos, yeah. Maybe.
Peter.
I'm aware of him from I've just been informed of him from Twitter, from a news story from the BBC website that was retweeted on Twitter by a friend.
Yeah,
where a man under lockdown, good footballer, lost 7 stone.
Amateur footballer, semi-pro.
Amateur footballer, semi-pro. Something he lost like something like 7 stone under lockdown to return to the football field, and again an inspiration. As I drink my full fat coke at 11 o'clock in the morning.
He scored a hat trick.
Yeah.
And he's a defender as well, right?
I think he might be, yeah.
Right.
At that level, though. Yeah, Adam's done it.
I don't know.
It happens.
You such a misery guts you are. This man has lost.
I've just elucidated. I've explained. I've given you the exposition you needed, Marcus. You just threw it over to me.
Well, so
have you heard this bloke?
Well, I
think so.
Centre-halves all around the country at amateur level getting hat tricks.
Headers.
At volleys.
I love the
headers,
way
corners.
You really built him up and then you scythed him down.
Well, it's not that big an achievement, to be honest.
Yeah,
get back on the burgers, Amos.
But no, that, I mean, it was an incredible story because, obviously I had heard him because he's in the running order, but just like reading a bit around it about how he had quite a serious injury, hence why he fell out of the game and put on all this weight. And, you know, a lot of people... He could have been that person who sat in the pub being like, well, I could have made it if I... And what he did is he turned himself around and he's...
And he's got himself a mention on the Football Ramble.
I mean, what more do you want?
Knighthood is the only way to go from there.
My lockdown started with me wondering, you know, what am I going to do with my job? And ended with me on the Football Ramble. I would say he's one up on me.
Yeah,
hard to dress that one up as a sideways move, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Before we go, Peter, did you see Andy Carroll taking videos of new Newcastle United players and and old Newcastle United?
I fear that they've fallen in with a bad crowd. As in Andy Carroll.
Yeah, Callum Wilson next to Matt Ritchie.
Oh, I cannot stop looking at pictures of Wilson. I cannot
Andy
stop.
Andy Brassel made the point yesterday, didn't he? That he looks fabulous in the
He looks brilliant. It's like they poured him into that kit. Fantastic. Number 9. Come on!
Matt Ritchie's still there as well.
I know. I love Matt. Again, one of my players of the season last season. I think he deserves to stay at Newcastle. He deserves to stay in the Premier League, in my opinion. I bloody love Matt Ritchie.
I was reading a piece the other day saying that Steve Bruce is the hero in all this because he's managed to basically get Mike Ashley to cough up a few quid. And they made some good signing. I mean, that's what I mean. Callum Wilson, okay, he's been injured a lot, but he is an England international, Premier League player, and he goes for, what, 20 million quid? Mm-hmm. You compare that to, say, the Ollie Watkins one, that's why I was a little bit surprised.
That's fair news. Obviously, you know, Callum Wilson's had his injury problems as well. But, yeah, no, I think he's a great signing. I was going to just jump off the back of Pete's point about how beautiful Callum Wilson is and say that he's got the face that was drawn by Disney,
isn't
he?
Yes,
and then, like, conversely, you know, sat next to Matt Ritchie, who looks like he was drawn by the creators of South Park.
There's very little definition in Ritchie's face, is it? Yeah.
Just anger. You know.
Yeah, my goodness. Well, what a way to finish the second half, I think, for Matt Ritchie there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking to you on tomorrow's show. Of course, we have Kate, we have Jim, and we have Vish again.
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Stay the night.
Couldn't get enough of today, could you? So there we are. It's been an absolute pleasure. Vish, say cheerio.
Cheerio.
Pete, say goodbye.
Jumatanir. Oh. Sayonara. Goodbye.
I love that. And it's goodbye from me, everybody. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.